So then I'd like to wish you all a happy and a holy Easter. And this tomorrow morning there'll be Mass at 8 a.m. for the day Mass of the Easter. And then at noon o'clock, 12 o'clock in Fort Collins. And then after the Mass today, you're all invited downstairs for a I guess some victuals, some food will be down there. And then also a little Easter egg hunt as well. So after the Mass, you're all invited downstairs. At the end of the Mass today, there is the Office of Lauds, which takes the place of the Communion Antiphon. And so there'll be the incensation of the altar and the incensation of the faithful again, just like at the offertory. The epistle for the Mass, the vigil Mass of the Resurrection, is taken from St. Peter's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ shall appear, who is your life, then shall you appear with him in glory. And then the Gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew, chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and coming, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was as lightning, his raiment as snow. And for fear of him, the guards were struck with terror and became as dead men. And the angel answering said to the woman, "Fear not, fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. And going quickly, tell ye his disciples that he is risen, and behold, he will go before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him, as I have foretold it to you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So St. Peter tells us in his very first sermon that he spoke on Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after today, "Without the resurrection, our faith is in vain." That Jesus Christ came to this world in order to die. That was the purpose of his coming. But that his death transformed death. As we say in this liturgy of Holy Saturday morning, "O mors, ero mors tua." O death, I will be your death. Death, thou shalt die. Our Lord Jesus Christ wages war with death and speaks with death. We Catholics are no longer afraid of death since the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we consider the place of death to be a holy place. So some holy women came to a tomb this morning, just after the dawn. They were in a state of complete and total despair. Their master was gone. The purpose of their life was no more. All they could do was but bring a few myrrhs and aloes to anoint his body, to finish the burial. They were not even able to do a proper burial when he died on Friday. In a state of complete sorrow, in a state nearing the totality of despair, the holy women come to the tomb. They do not expect to see a pretty sight. They are simply going to fulfill their duty. And after this, their life has no purpose. They walk to the tomb. And as they get near to the tomb, they say to each other, "Who shall roll back the stone?" We mention this mystery from time to time. Who shall roll back the stone? What a foolish question. We often worry about the things of this world. We do not think that a stone can be rolled back because it is too heavy for us. We see only a stone and a closed tomb. We do not see what is happening about us. That death is being waged war against. That sin is being conquered. That the devil is vanquished. As our Lord Jesus Christ said on Holy Thursday night to His apostles, Confidite ego vici mundum. Have confidence because I have already conquered the world. Satan is already vanquished. They heard the words of Christ when He spoke. And He said to them, not one of you shall be harmed. Therefore you need not fear when you see Me put in chains and being brought to the cross and crucified, for none of you shall be harmed. They see a mob and they run in fear, one of them running away naked. The holy women come to a tomb. Why do they go to the tomb? Because they're going to do something. They're going to bring some myrrhs and aloes, and they're going to do something. They're going to bring the best that man has to offer. Bitterness. You know that without Jesus Christ, man is at his strongest, and he accomplishes the best when he is angry. They say that sometimes that the angry fighter who has nothing to lose and the bitter fighter who has nothing to lose is much to be feared. And so they bring the best that man has to offer, myrrhs and aloes, to a tomb. And we Catholics too often carry myrrhs and aloes around with us. We are carrying bitterness and anger. We are acting as the people of the world. We see stone tombs. We see a mob with clubs. But we do not see the reality. And the church asked us on this, the holiest of all nights, to see the reality, to open our eyes and see a little deeper. Who cares about a stone? It is the creator and the sustainer of stone that was behind it. He has but to say a word, and the stone is no more. And they worry about a stone. They do not know that death has been conquered by God Himself. They have forgotten that their master is God, and we often forget that our master is God. But let us say with St. Peter today, without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. But with it, no one can conquer us. There is nothing to fear, for not even death is our enemy. When we look at the lives of the saints, death has been transformed. And the angel was trying to explain that to those women. He said, indeed, it is great that you have come. Look at the place where His body was laid. It is now a holy place. It is not a place about which we should sorrow or be in the state of despair. It is the holy place where God laid His bones. He said, no one hath power over me. I take up my own life and I take it up again. This is the place where He chose to take up His life again. This is the stone that was rolled back, showing the end of death. They did not believe. But they did one good thing, which is the beginning of belief. They left behind their myrrhs and aloes. They left them behind. And leaving their myrrhs and their aloes, they went about in order to tell the world that the tomb is empty. They're still focused on the tomb. Only one of the holy women cared not about the tomb. And that was the great Saint Mary Magdalene. She could care less about a stone, and she could care less about a tomb. She cared only about one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And we are asked on this Easter night to no longer focus on the tomb and on the stone that is rolled back, but to turn our focus on He who is life, so that even where we see death, we will see life. You know that whenever you go to a Mass, a real Mass, we celebrate death. That's what we're about. We celebrate death. We go to the altar. And now Jesus Christ is not present on that altar, but in a few minutes He will be. When I will speak the words of He spoke at His death, and when we commemorate His death, and we focus upon His death, then life itself will come into this church. There is no life without death. This is the new law. Greater love than this, says Jesus Christ, the new commandment, no man hath, than that he lay down his life for his friends. There is a new path to life. And the new path to life is death. Firstly, the death of Jesus Christ. And then that death that we all fear, my death, my own death. Why do we fear it? It's foolish. Once we have seen the light illuminate this space on Easter night, and we see that there is a new kind of life, as we will say during every Requiem Mass, vita mutatur non tolitur. Life is changed. It is not taken away. Do we really believe that? No, we do not. St. Ambrose, it is said, when he would preach sermons at funerals, would become very angry indeed, if he saw mourning, if he saw weeping or tears. What are we made for, says St. Ambrose? We are made for heaven. Would you wish this soul to come back from that place to go to this? Again? Do you not realize that the purpose of your life is to achieve everlasting bliss with Christ? To live with Him forever? To be united to life itself? This is the purpose of life. But this life cannot be achieved unless we focus on death. And this is what the modern world does not want to hear. Unless I die, I will know nothing of life. I will remain myself alone for all eternity. That is misery indeed, to be left with myself. But if I go to death, if I fear not death, if I embrace the cross, if I imitate and follow in the footsteps of my Master, then I will learn the beauty of death. As the angel said to those holy women, look at this beautiful place where His dead body laid, a place where He conquered death. If any of us wishes to live in peace, we must learn to not worry about our life. That's our problem. We worry about life, particularly our quality of life. How much money do we have? how much comfort, how much material peace. We are worried about our life. We are almost satisfied with it, and we want to sustain it. We're worried about the loss of health, the loss of money. Because we want to keep the puny, pusillanimous things that we have. And we don't want to grab the real gold and the real treasure. That is Jesus Christ. But He has showed us the way to life. He went to His own death of His own accord. He chose the moment of His death. And in this choosing, He received the power that He had from all eternity because He's God, to choose the moment of taking up His life again. And He transfers this power to us if we believe in Him. As He turned to St. Martha one day, a few weeks before the crucifixion, "He who believes in Me shall not taste death forever. Believest thou this? Yea, Lord, I have believed that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We need to believe. Truly believe in the reality of Christ. And when we focus upon Him and upon His gospel and upon His church and upon His teaching and upon His love, we will not be fearful of the foolish attacks of the world. God will give us a strength that we do not have on our own. He will give us peace that we cannot attain without Him. But we need to learn His ways. There's nothing more beautiful than this empty tomb, the place where He died. And if we want to rise with Him, says Bishop Sheen, if you want to rise with Him, then you must die with Him. And he who does not die with Him shall never rise. So all we have to do is to prepare to be with Him. And then it does not matter the day nor the hour that He wishes to take us. All that matters is that we focus on being united in His love. And if we are united in His love and His faith and His sacraments, then we shall not taste death forever. For it has been conquered on this most beautiful of nights. So let's try to unite ourselves to the life. And also be sure to pray for little Miss Isabel and Mr. David Cool. Isabel, little child, baptized this night. Mr. David baptized. I'm trying to get David baptized the last 10 years. He was on the delayed entry program into the Catholic Church. Finally, his day has come. And so it's a beautiful privilege to be able to receive Mr. David into the church today. But we all need to pray. One reason why we do baptisms on Easter is so that the entire church can pray for the perseverance of the two that have been baptized. And that if they ever were to waver away, wander away, through weakness, that God in His infinite mercy and through His divine love will bring them back. Bring them back to true peace. So that every one of us that is united for a few hours in the middle of the night trying to stay awake will be united in eternity forever. Singing Hosanna to the Son of David. Glory to the Lamb of God. Remember our purpose. We're here for heaven. And we often forget it because of our worries, our fights, and our troubles in daily life. Let's not forget it. And then I'll close here, but first a reminder. Try to do an annual reminder of the Easter egg. We'll have the Easter egg, a little Easter egg hunt, a little thing for the children after the Mass today. 2 a.m, they'll be the only ones awake perhaps. But just a reminder of the history of the Easter egg. According to an Eastern tradition, St. Simon the Cyrenian who carried the cross behind our Lord, that particular day on Good Friday, was on his way to collect the eggs from his chickens. And he was much like the Dunkin' Donut man. I mention him frequently on retreats. He was kind of an idiot. He only knew one thing. It's time to make the donuts, and that's it. He just knew it was time to get his eggs. And this particular day, he was going to get his eggs. He was not a religious man. He just knew that he had to take care of his chickens and collect his eggs. And as he was on his way to collect his eggs, there was this large crowd, and there were many angry people there, and three men that were going to be crucified. And if he had any brains, he would have waited and let the crowd pass and then go to get his eggs. But he was thinking, you know, I've got to get my eggs. I'll be a minute late. And so he forced his way through the crowd, tapped a man on the shoulder and says, excuse me, I've got to get through here. I've got to go get my eggs. And at that time, Christ was extremely weak, and the soldiers were worried that he might die before the crucifixion. Now the soldiers were worried, the Roman soldiers were worried because of the law of the Romans. The Romans allowed total cruelty. They had no problem with that. But there was only one rule. The chief executioner had to make sure that the victim was alive when he arrived at the place of execution. And if he was beaten to death before that time, very often the chief executioner would be put to death. So the chief executioner was worried that Christ may not live to make it to Calvary. And just at that time, an idiot tapped him on the shoulders and said, excuse me. And so he grabbed him, Simon the Cyrenian, said, you will carry the cross of our Lord. And so Simon carried the cross behind our Lord. And at first he was terrified of that cross. He thought he was going to be executed. And he had just received bad luck. But he looked at the man whom he had never seen before in front of him. He saw the man of sorrows. He saw his innocence. And so he began to see that this cross was something holy. And he began to embrace it. And he began to want to know a little bit more about this man. Later on, Simon became a bishop and proselytized in the East. But after he had carried the cross and up to the top of Calvary, he left the cross and went to collect his eggs. And in reward for his carrying the cross behind our Lord, according to the Eastern tradition, the eggs were of many colors. And from this we have the origin of painting the Easter egg. And of course, the Easter egg originally was only one egg. And that the egg is a symbol of the resurrection. And the reason why it's a symbol of the resurrection is because it is a perfectly sealed tomb with no cracks. And there is a little chick inside of that tomb who pecks his own way out of the tomb. No one helps the chicken out of the egg. No one helped Christ out of the tomb. He got his own way out. And hence the egg is a symbol of the resurrection. And the painting of the egg, a reminder of St. Simon the Cyrenian and the day that he carried the cross behind our Lord. And the Easter egg hunt, the origin of this, it is a reminder of the holy women, particularly Mary Magdalene and also St. Peter, who when they found the tomb empty had to wander about looking for him. Mary Magdalene wandered looking for him, and she would be the first to see him after the resurrection. And so that's the origin of the little Easter egg hunt. You're invited downstairs after the Mass for the refreshments and so on, and then for the little bitty Easter egg hunt and so on. And then at 8 o'clock, the main Mass, the dawn Mass of Easter. And then at noon, the Mass in Fort Collins also. And I'll close it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.